The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, Ben Symes, football reporter from Off the Ball, has popped in just to talk World Cup matters. We've been talking about it already, Ben, but your take on the Gianni Infantino, Donald Trump conversation that has led to Balogun actually being allowed play tonight in the match against Belgium for the US.
I think if anyone has an opinion on it, other than it's an absolutely disgraceful decision and thing to see happen, I think you're just completely wrong. It's had a very, very dangerous precedent. Like, Thomas Tuchel came out last night and said, you know, Jarrell Kwanzaa got sent off versus Mexico. Yeah. Can we just appeal now?
Can Prince Charles get onto him?
Like, why can't this happen? I think you're going to see all countries play this. I know Jude Bellingham last night, if he got a second yellow card, he would have been suspended for the quarterfinal, and people are kind of saying, is he better off just getting sent off and appeal it? Because it seems what happens these days. You can just get your way around anything.
Could this backfire to such an extent on Infantino that it might ultimately cost him his position at FIFA, or is that just wishful thinking on our part?
I think we'd all like to see it happen. I do think it could happen, though. I think it depends on the will of particularly UEFA nations. UEFA came out today and issued a pretty scathing statement of FIFA for allowing this to happen and how it kind of puts into jeopardy the integrity of the game. And I think if you have enough nations that speak out loudly against it. I saw that the Norway manager Stel Solbakken came out after and said kind of similar, that this is just disgraceful how this is allowed to happen, and it puts into, as we said, jeopardy the integrity of the competition and of the sport. I think if enough nations come out and speak out against it, we could potentially see the start of the downfall of Gianni Infantino. The problem with Infantino is, and people have said this all the time, he will always pander up to the politicians, and if the politicians aren't going to go against this and FIFA, then is anything really going to happen? I don't know.
Okay. Now, you stayed up till the early hours. Fair play to you. I wilted when I heard the game had been delayed by an hour. I went to bed, but you stayed up for England versus Mexico. Were England really good, or were Mexico really poor, or was it a bit of both?
I'd probably go with a bit of both. I think it was hyperbole from, I heard the BBC saying this is the greatest English performance at a World Cup ever, they said a full
time. Lots of the UK media saying that. Since 1966, at least.
Which we all know what happened in 1966, Shane. Yeah. Eric Cantona was born, but it was like, they were good. Don't get me wrong, they were good. But like, Mexico were really poor. And I think a lot was made of this, you know, altitude situation. You've got professional footballers who have the best equipment in the world and are conditioned to the nth degree consistently at their clubs. I think, like, if you look back to previous World Cups in Mexico, like in 1970, Alf Ramsey brought England a month early to acclimatise, and it was needed then. You can go in to and train in your these clubs' gyms in the Premier League and do altitude training. I think it was a little bit, you know, overhyped. And I think, if anything, Mexico are so far below their standards that it may be evened out a little bit. But look, Jude Bellingham was excellent. He was really, really good and kind of came into his own in a way that we haven't maybe seen for England with him before. Does really well for his two goals, but the defending is so poor. Like, it's Lira, the Mexican midfielder, is tracking him the whole way, and then he gets to the edge of the box and just leaves him and drifts off him, and Bellingham poaches in. Then for the second goal, you know, I think their heads are just a little bit all over the place. Gilberto Mora, the 17-year-old, who was excellent previously in the tournament, tries to spin in the middle of his own half, and Gordon and Bellingham are on him like a rash, and England go up and score again. And Mexico never really looked like scoring through the second half. They created some good chances in the first half for Raul Jimenez, the former Fulham striker. But then as soon as England went down to 10 men, which it was a justified red card, and it was a justified penalty as well. I saw Alan Shearer wasn't too happy about that penalty being given.
It was a penalty.
It was quite similar to the one that we got in Prague against Czech Republic.
Very similar.
But as soon as England brought on Dan Byrne and went into a back five, they basically just said to Mexico, come on then, put the balls into the box, we'll have everything away. And that's what they did. And Mexico just kept putting in these laboured crosses into the box. And England, to be fair to them, dealt with it quite well. But Mexico never looked like threatening them once they went down to 10 men.
Norway in the next round for England. Is that a 50-50 game, or are England favourites for that?
I would put England favourites. I think the only caveat is that you have that man up top with Erling Haaland, who you just give him a sniff, he will score a goal. You could arguably say the same thing for Harry Kane, which is maybe the thing that eliminates that out. I think if you look at the teams on paper, Norway's defence is a little bit shaky, and I would worry about them against Harry Kane.
You could say England's defence is a bit shaky as well. They're right back. They have a right back problem.
They have got a serious right back problem, and it's going to be very interesting to see what he does now in the next game. Does he trust Jed Spence, who he dropped, to go back in and play right back? Does he put Declan Rice there? He did that in the final stages of the DR Congo game. But I just think, it's a nice matchup for England. And I think in the Miami Heat, a lot of those Norwegian boys will have never played in heat like that before. England are coming off the back of a, let's face it, maybe the altitude might have been hyped up a little bit, but it, like a ferocious atmosphere in Mexico City.
Okay.
Norway legs have wilted in their games before. I don't know if I'd back them.
No real surprise that Brazil aren't going to win the World Cup. Was there a surprise that they went out at this stage? I mean, they don't. Their team wasn't good enough to win the World Cup. That was pretty obvious from the start. But
it's the poorest Brazil side we've seen in a long, long time, potentially ever. And people in Brazil are really embarrassed by this. Like, they think this is a national embarrassment. We've lost to Norway. But I think if you look at the two teams and if you look at the way the game played out, it doesn't really play out like that to anyone else. It's not really a shock.
No.
Like, Erling Haaland is the best player on the park there. Maybe Vinicius Jr. is close to him. But even when you look, Vinicius Jr., when he played well yesterday, he created a great chance for Endrick in the second half and he couldn't finish. And Brazil ultimately are going to regret picking maybe Neymar, maybe some other players over João Pedro off Chelsea. Scored a lot of goals in the Premier League season. They went to the tournament with one striker. It was Igor Thiago, who played the opening game against Morocco and then didn't play again.
Yeah.
And they never played an out-and-out striker and it came back to bite them.
It certainly did. Let's just very quickly look ahead to tonight. Belgium, US. Everybody, I think, outside the US is now going to be cheering for Belgium because of what happened, which is unfair on the US team, but that's the reality. Is that a 50-50 game? Belgium aren't the team they were?
Yeah, I almost lean towards the States with this one.
Yeah, especially I think I can see why.
If Balogun is going to play, which I don't think we're going to know fully until the whistle goes, I would probably lean towards the States. I think they just might have enough. I haven't been impressed with Belgium. They got handed a very lucky win by Senegal in the last game. Senegal capitulated in the last couple of minutes. I fancy the States to maybe cause an upset.
Spain, Portugal should be Spain based on form, shouldn't it?
Should be Spain, but this is going to be brilliant. Like Iberian Derby.
I was wondering which of us would say it first.
I know. It's all cliche, but it has to be said. It's like the last time this happened was the 3-all in 2018. Ronaldo scored a free kick that everyone remembers, and he still remembers as he lets us know.
Probably the last free kick he ever scored, I'd say.
But this should be blockbuster. Like, this should be, Spain should rise to this occasion. They haven't been excellent in some games. They've been excellent when they played maybe inferior nations. I'm expecting Portugal to have a bit of grit in their teeth and will want to beat Spain. But ultimately, I think Spain will just prove too much going forward and should get by Portugal, set up a tasty quarterfinal.
I'm definitely looking forward to that. Ben Symes, a football reporter from Off the Ball. Thanks a million for popping into us. We might chat to you tomorrow.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.